we're thankful that, yeah, the Lord has got a place for every one of us, and that we are, well, if you get saved, you get on that old ship. Amen? Get on that old ship of mine. Hey, this thing's ready to sail out here one of these days, isn't it? We're prepared for the world beyond, and prepared for getting out of this old world, and prepared for, wow, some things that, boy, people just don't understand down here. They think it's all a fairy tale. They say, well, it's just, y'all just dreaming. Well, I'm like the guy was in the song that said, some folks say, just let me dream on. Amen. Y'all don't worry about that. Amen. Let's look tonight, if you will, in your Bible. Let's look at something real familiar. Look in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, I know we've been over this probably many times. You've heard about the life of the Apostle Paul. And, of course, we've all got teachings and preachings and thoughts on all of this. But I want us to look at it again tonight and just think about this, if you will. The changing power of God's grace. The changing power of God's grace. Because, again, that's how we all get saved. It's all by the powerful grace of God. That redeeming grace. That grace that says, no, you don't deserve it, but this is what I'm planning for your life and what I want to do with your life. And that's exactly where the Apostle Paul is. And now, Paul talks about his, and when we read the conversion here in chapter number 9, as you're reading, and we'll read just a few verses here in a minute. But Paul also reiterates that story twice. In chapter number 22 of the book of Acts, he's put on a place where he has to, you know, give an account, and he does that. And then again, he does it in chapter number 26. And in those stories, there's just a few little mild differences, and I won't say differences. There's just some things, you know, if you and I are telling a story, we might tell it to this group and add this detail. To another group, we might add a little more detail or a different detail. And it's just according to how you're doing that, right? So don't get excited when you say, well, this don't say this here and that there and all that. Don't worry about that. Just understand that it gives us the complete story. It's kind of like when Jesus was resurrected. All four Gospels tell you that story, and even about the crucifixion, they all tell that story, but there's just some elements that stand out. If you and I saw something, we would tell the story. You may see something that you would emphasize in your story, and I may see something else, and I would emphasize this, and, you know, it may wind up being, it's the same story, okay? So this is the story that we see about God saving Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. So look in verse number 1 of chapter number 9. And the Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And having seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem.
And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for all these folks that are here tonight. Bless us with your presence and a glorious touch from heaven and just the goodness of fellowship and worship here tonight. Bless us in that and help us to see Jesus and help us to see what you can do. And thank you for the same grace that saved Paul saved us. Thank you for that tonight. Just let us see it. Let us experience more and let us just rejoice in that. And we will thank you. We will give you praise. I pray again, save the lost. Speak to our hearts. Show us lost folks. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. As I said, when you begin to read this, again, a couple of more chapters in Acts that give you the same story. Acts 22, Acts 26. You find the similar story that Paul tells. And it's exciting. I mean, the whole thing we know written by Luke. But when you look at it and you see here is an account that Luke pins down for us, chapter number 9. Chapter number 22, it's Paul telling that story. Acts 26, again, it's Paul telling that story. Isn't it exciting when you can tell your story? I mean, when God lets you tell your story. I mean, it's one of those things that, wow. I mean, listen to that, and you hear those testimonies. It's good when folks stand up and say, Preacher, can I just tell you what God's done for me? Woo, it's good. Amen? I mean, it ought to be for every one of us. So Paul here is this story is, I guess, related, as I say, related to us by Luke, but he probably had to hear it from somebody. So it may have been Paul himself, whoever may have told him. The Holy Spirit put it in him to write these things down for me and you, that we'd know these things about Paul and his conversion as he came to Christ. First of all, I want you to look at this with me. And I know we've talked about this probably before, but I want you to look at this, and we'll just say this. First of all, I want you to notice that Paul was maddened because of the Lord. Paul was all tore up because of the Lord. I mean, when you think about it, everything that Paul was doing, it really was because of the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's fighting. Look what it says there in verse number 1. And Saul, we get in chapter number 8, you know, we've got off on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and we've seen about all of the big revival that was going on in Samaria, all that stuff. But then all of a sudden, the picture changes back. Now, of course, we know back in chapter number 7, at the end of it, there is the stoning of Stephen. And it says, while they were stoning Stephen, that all of those folks laid their garments, their clothes, their coats, they laid them down at the feet of Paul. They were laying those down because, you know, they were getting ready to get into the fight and the fracas against Stephen. So they laid them down. And it said that Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. I believe it. I think many of you probably understand this truth. When God gets after you, it don't matter how hard you fight. He's still going to get you when he gets you. I mean, you can do what... And here is Saul, Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue. I mean, here, he's mad. And I'm telling you, when we are introduced, the events that happen. You ever been around anybody like that? You probably heard people testify to that fact. I have. They'd stand up and say, you know, somebody said something to me and it made me mad. They told me I need to get saved. They told me I was going to go to hell. They told me I was lost. They told me, you know, whatever. And it made them mad. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, that's a good thing. If somebody's testimony of Christ and what he can do, if it makes you mad, hey, that lets me know God's doing something on the inside of you. Right? I mean, you ever seen people and you ever want, you say, what's wrong with them? Good old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. That's a good thing. I've been there. And I trust that you have too. If you've received Christ, somewhere along the line, you got convicted. And you know what it did? It made you mad, really. You might not have necessarily had an outward explosion of it, but there's something on the inside there, and boy, old pride pops up. And you're saying, well, I'm better than that. I don't need what they got. I don't have to listen to this. I don't want some preacher telling me, you know, all that kind of stuff that we come up with in our defense. Again, and it's just simply man-made pride. We don't want to have to humble before God. We don't want to have to come and ask for forgiveness. What have I got to be for? I'm a good fellow. I've done good. And blah, blah, blah is the way that we are. Amen? And I believe that's where Paul is right now. He is in a state of madness. He's maddened because of this thing of Jesus Christ. It's got under his skin. It's irritating him. The Lord has really got on his trail. You say, now preacher, how do you know the Lord's on his trail? He's on the trail out there with him on the road to Damascus. God's out there. Wherever he's going, God's right there with him. Isn't that amazing? God used to get in the bed with me and aggravate me to death. The Holy Ghost hound dog of heaven would get right there in my bed and he'd tell me, you better be afraid to go to sleep, boy. You might not wake up in the morning, but you'd wake up in the pits of hell. Amen? You need to get saved. You need to get clean of that sin in your life. And I'll get up and do something. Go somewhere. You know what? It's still there. It still is. I told y'all, hey, buddy, when I started out, I sat in the back row at church. No offense to you on the back row. I sat there. I said, well, see if you can get me here, preacher. He shot over everybody and got me back on the back row. I said, I can fix that. I moved up in the crowd. I got up closer to the front, got about midway, and I said, I can blend in. Boy, there won't be a shot fired here. Got you again. Amen. I said, we'll fix that. Move on up to the front. That's where all the goody two shoes are. He'll never get you there. Hey, I got a pow, pow, pow. Every time I move, he got me. Amen. I'm telling you, old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. And I think that's where Paul is in his life right now. I mean, can you see it? First of all, that convicting power and that madness of him is shown by the deeds that he's doing. Look what it says. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Can you see that? He shows his madness by what he's doing. He's fighting it. I mean, he's fighting against it with all the fight he's got in him. You ever seen people do that? I mean, get under conviction and they'd snap. They'd say things in a hurry. They'd get irritated and upset over the least little thing. You know what that is? Something's going on down in here. And you think, well, what did I say? What did I do? It ain't you, honey. It's what the Holy Ghost is doing on the inside. So Paul is showing his madness, the convicting spirit, because he's showing it by the deeds of him. Second of all, I want you to notice this. He shows it to us, that madness, because of his desires. You see what it says in verse number 2? That he went to the high priest, verse number 1, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way being Christ's way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. His desire, he had an evil, wicked, I mean a desire to hurt and imprison the people of God. That was his desire. I mean, and I believe it just boiled. I believe it churned. I believe it turned over. And he said, if I can put more of them in jail, this feeling will go away. This thing that's hounding me, this problem that's in my heart, this thing that seems to be troubling, it'll be gone. I'll put more of them in jail and I'll get rid of it. You know what it did? Just added to the problem. Just throwed one on top of another, on top of another. And here he is. He's fighting him. But and he's showing that madness in his life by those desires that he's got. Can I tell you, a lost person got some weird desires, don't they? Amen? You did when you was lost. I mean, you wanted to eat the garbage of the world. Brother Ronnie was talking about this morning about the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. You remember what they said when they got out in the wilderness? Why have you brought us out here to die, Moses? And they sounded like a bunch of Southerners. Somebody say amen right there. Why'd you bring us out here today? And they said, it'd been better if we'd been down there in Egypt. We could have been eating, listen, garlic and leeks and onions. That's what they say. Go back and check it out. That's what, you know what that does to you? Gives you indigestion and bad breath. Say amen. I mean, that's what they wanted. Our soul loathes this light bread. God had been feeding them with manna from heaven.
We don't like it anymore. It ain't no good.
Isn't that crazy? But that's the way folks get when they get out of sorts with the Lord. Amen? So here is Saul, and he's shown his desires. His desire is to, I'm going to put them folks out. I'm going to rub them off the face. I'm going to put them all in jail. Whatever. That's his desires. And then don't you know, it's also shown by his defiance. He is acting in the most defiant way he can. As a matter of fact, look at this. The Lord gives us a little insight into that. In verse number 4, and he fell to the earth when he saw this light. Fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Listen to this. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Can you see right there? The Bible tells you the Lord is sticking it to him. That's convicting, Holy Ghost conviction right there. I mean, that's it. You remember that? Hey, you remember when that, you know what that idea is, the idea of the prick is that it is a stinging sensation. It is the idea of what it really was a rod with an iron or metal tip on it that they would prod animals with. If they had a stubborn animal, you poked them with the prod. You know what the Lord's saying? Pow! Gotcha. Amen. Has he ever done that to you? He done it to me. Pow! Quit being so stubborn. Pow! You got it again. And I'm telling you, I believe that's where Paul's life was right now. He was continually being hit and stung and burned by the things of God. And, you know, here he is. Thank God he's at the end of the rope with it, right? You ever got there where you was at the end of your rope where, I mean, the Lord had been poking you and hitting you and burning you and stinging you and prodding you and I can't take it no more, I give up. That's where Paul is. God has knocked him down to his knees. So first of all, I just wanted you to see that Paul was maddened. He was in a state of madness because of the Lord. But second of all, I want to report this to you. Paul was quickened by the power of the Lord. Oh, let me tell you. He got quickened by the power of the Lord. I want to tell you that first of all, notice this, that the Lord came to check him. And what I mean to check him is to put a checkup on those things that he was doing. Look in verse number 3. It says, and as he journeyed, Paul is on his journey down this road to Damascus. Probably a major road in that day. He's on the road that leads to the great city of Damascus. And it says, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. The heavenly, if you want to think of it, the heavenly police come down and took his flashlight out and said, pow, right in Paul's face. Who are you, buddy? And Paul's, I mean, it's so bright. It's so terrifying. It knocks him down. Hey, God said, I've come here to check you on everything you think you're going to do. What are you going to do? I'm going to go put them in jail. I'm going to bind them. I'm going to hurt them. I might even kill some of them. God said, I got a way to check that. Amen. I got a way to put a stop to it. I'm getting in this thing, and I'm intervening right now. Amen. Woohoo! This is the same Paul that wrote over in Ephesians chapter number 2. You remember what he says in verse number 4? But God, hey, God's about to butt into Paul's affairs. He's about to step in. He said, son, I'm tired of this. I'm stepping in and I'm checking you up right now. Amen. And God did. He checked him up. Look what it says. It says that there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. He got a checkup. God said, here, I'm putting a stop to it right here, right now. You're not going to make it to Damascus. I'm going to knock you down on the road while you're going there. And there he is. He's gotten checked up, if you will, from the things of God. You ever got into a situation like that where, you know, something's blocked you, something's slowed you, something's hindered you? Hey, here's Paul. He got it. I'm going to the Damascus. I'm going to put folks in jail. I'm big, bad, mean, and I've done it before. And all of a sudden, boom, God puts a checkup on him. But not only do you see that the Lord came to check on him. I want you to notice, the Lord came to change him. The Lord came to change him. He came in and said, we're going to make some changes in this, buddy. Look in verse number 4. He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice say. He heard a voice, and it said, you know what? When Paul is telling the story, I think it's chapter number 26 of Acts, that he tells Agrippa and you know the governor there, he tells him, I heard a voice speak to me in the Hebrew voice. Ooh. Y'all know that? God can speak Hebrew. And Saul probably didn't. He goes, well, I can speak anything. And God said, let me get your attention. Because when he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. He said, that's kind of what I was afraid of, I think. That it was the Lord that was speaking to him. And he said that he heard a voice that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What are you doing? What are you doing? What's all of this fit? What's all of this rage? What's all of this fury? What's all of this stirred up that you... What is this all about? Do you understand? Paul never answers him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled. And astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen. I believe he got saved right there. Well, I don't see no prayer. I don't see no, you know, whatever. I believe he got saved right there. I believe he changed his mind about who the Lord was, and the Lord has changed his mind. And can I tell you, the Lord quickened him right there on that road to Damascus. The Lord changed him. Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen? I mean, hey, and you know what? Paul just got in, y'all. Right here in your reading, and where you're reading in chapter number 9, that's where Paul got into this thing. I mean, the Lord came and changed him. And boy, he said, what will you have me to do, Lord? Verse number 6 at the end, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Amen? Boy, I mean, your life is going to be changed from here on out. I'm not sending you to the city to put people in jail. I'm not sending you to torture my saints and my people. I'm here to make a change in your life. Can I tell you, that's what happens in the life of every one of us as sinners. When we come to Christ, He changes our lives. He changes us. And He changes us always for the better, for His honor and for His glory. So let me just say that. When the Lord quickened him, He checked him up on what he was doing on the way there. He changed him. And then I want you to notice that the Lord chose him. I mean, God chose him. Look over in chapter 22. And again, Paul is giving this same account of his salvation. But in chapter number 22, when he begins to tell this story, he says in verse number 7, and I fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And then he tells on about, you know, what happened in verse 10. He said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. I mean, he's like, well, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Well, look down at verse number 10. verse number 13. And he said, verse 12, one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen? Paul, I'm telling you, he got changed, but then he found out he was chosen. God told him. You remember over here where we're reading in chapter number 9, in verse number 15, when Ananias said, Lord, don't you know who that guy is? He's a pretty bad dude, and I don't know if we need to mess with him. And God said, oh, I know what I'm doing. But look what he says, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, look, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen? Paul's chosen. Amen? Can I tell you, me and you are chosen too. Peter said we are. He said that we were a chosen, a peculiar people. And that, boy, you and I are chosen to build up this tabernacle of God for an indwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We're chosen to be God's people. Amen? God wants us to be His people, to be His church, to be His body, be His bride, and be His building. Hey, that's what God wants us to be. Amen? That's what He's chosen us for. Thank God. I'm glad I'm one of His. Somebody said the Baptist is a frozen chosen. That may be right. But thank God I'm one of them. I'm going to thaw out after a while anyway. All right? But Paul, the Lord came and quickened him, and he became one that was chosen. Don't you notice this? Paul was maddened because of the Lord. He was quickened by the Lord. But he was also awakened by the Lord. During all of this, God woke him up real good. First of all, realize this, that Paul was awoken, well, just like the rest of us, through the life-giving new birth. We were born again. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? Nicodemus was an educated man. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was high up in the ranks of the Pharisees, probably. And Jesus told him, you got to be born again. Well, don't you know who I am? Jesus said, yeah, I know. You're a lost sinner like the rest of them, amen? He needed to be saved. You must be born again, amen? And I'm telling you, that's the mantra from era. There's nobody. There's just nobody. And Paul wrote it in the book of Romans in chapter number 3. There's none of us that are doing good. None of us that are righteous. None of us. There's nobody. No, not one. Nobody's done right. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've failed. And thank God through the new birth, through that life-giving birth that only comes by the blood of Christ. Only through the redemption that is found in Christ Jesus can we say that we have been awakened. Amen? We've been changed. Thank God we've been put in this. God woke us up when He saved us. Amen? We was in this world. We was in sin. We was in darkness. We were in blindness of the things that were in our life. We didn't know. But thank God when He saved us, opened our eyes. Amen. I believe this picture of Paul in his salvation is really just a good picture of a sinner, right? Ananias came and prayed for him, and it said it was like scales fell off his eye, and he could see. Amen. He said, I could look up and I could look upon him. Thank God that's what the Lord wants us to do. Look up and see him. Amen. When you get saved, that's the way it is. The songwriter said there, we sing it sometime in the songbook, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Amen. So, first of all, Paul, in his awakening, it's through that life-giving birth that came to him on that day. Well, again, Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the precious blood of Christ. Amen? Boy, I'm telling you, that's, That's us. We're born again that way. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Paul was awakened by the Lord and put into some things. And I think you see that it was through the loving body of Christ and his disciples. Here's Paul. And, you know, the Bible tells us there is that he begins to talk to Ananias. And he says, I want you to go on. And he tells him. He tells him where to go. Tells him who to go to. Tells him when to go. And he tells him why he's sending him. I mean, he tells him everything he needs to know. You know, Ananias kind of like me. You know who that is, Lord? You know who that guy is? Yeah, I know who he is. I still want you to go. Amen. Get up and go. Hey, do you know the Lord said the same thing to me and you? We'll say, now, God, you really, you know, they're bad. They've slammed the door in preachers' faces and they've cussed people out. And God said, I know all that. Go ahead and go anyway. Amen. He's telling me, you go. And he said, look, I want you to go. And he said, verse number 10, and it said there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And he said unto him, arise and go on the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He said, and he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Amen? And so he goes and he does what he's supposed to do. And then it tells us in verse number 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, when he sat down and had some food, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. You know the first thing he did? He got in with the church body. He got in with a group of saints. He went to church. Say amen right there. Amen. That's what he did. And it says he was there, and when he received meat, strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And listen, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Hey, ain't this the same guy throwing everybody in jail? Yeah, that's him. Well, praise God, can I tell you? Hey, he got in a church and he found out, thank God Jesus loved him. He found out that he could fellowship with the saints. He could preach the word of God and he just had himself a time. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the way that it ought to be when you and I get saved. We ought to find ourselves born again and have that new birth. But then you ought to find yourself part of the body of Christ. Join up with a local fellowship. Get in there and just have yourself a time. We help each other. We help each other in the local fellowship. You remember that? We talked about that verse all the time over in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter number 10, verse 25. Forsake not the assembly itself together as a matter of some. But he talks about doing that, encouraging each other or admonishing each other. He said, even the more so as you see the day approaching. In other words, keep on encouraging each other as you see the days getting worse. The time you, we need more encouragement when those days come. You get part of that body, and you know what? It does me good to hear somebody get up and sing a song. It does me well when someone stands up and says, preacher, let me give a word of testimony. It does me good when I hear some other preacher preach. I mean, it helps me. Amen. I mean, I got to be around that kind of fellowship. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'll eat meat your bologna sandwich. Amen. If you finish, we sit down, and that's good. We can sit there and break bread and enjoy fellowship and have a good time of talking about the things of God. Hey, that's a good thing for us all to learn to enjoy. So, you know, this thing about being awakened, I mean, he found it through a loving body. Those folks received it. I know there were some that were reluctant, but eventually they said, hey, he's got the real thing. You ever seen anybody like him? I've seen them. They get saved, and somebody say, ah, give them about 6 months, and that'll wear off. And you know what? Hey, can I tell y'all something? 1972, I got saved. It ain't wore off yet. What about that? 53 years, and I'm still on. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's what God does. That's not say I've been perfect, not say I've never had any problems or faults or failures. That's just what God does. He's still there. Amen? I'm just telling you, get in a local body and enjoy that fellowship and worship. So Paul was awakened by those things. And the last thing, just look at this. Paul was awakened and helped because of the Lord's blessings. Look there, if you will, in verse number 22. It says, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Amen. Paul got in there with them, and you know what happened when he got in that local body? He just experienced the Lord's blessings on his life. God just blessed him. God just blessed him. It said Saul increased the more in strength. I mean, he just got stronger, better, more in the fellowship. Hey, they trusted him better. They knew him better. He knew them better. They fellowship, they worship. And he said, "Boys, my days of throwing y'all in jail's gone. My days of coming up and hurting you and causing problems, that's all gone. I'm for you. I'm with you. Let's go on and win somebody to the Lord." Amen? That's what he was doing. Again, look over there in Acts chapter 26 and notice as Paul gives this testimony. In Acts chapter number 26, he is telling the authorities about his change. And look in verse number 19, if you will. And Paul is giving his testimony. He said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa," he was testifying. He'd already told what the Lord had done. He said, "Oh, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Amen? He goes on and says after that, those Jews tried to kill me, but God helped me through it all. I'm going on and doing because of the Lord's blessings on me. And can I tell you, you and I will do the same thing. If you'll just depend on Him, just get dependent upon Him. Say, "Lord, you know what? I cannot do this by myself, but I need You. I need You." And I believe if you'll just say, "God, I need You," I believe He'll say, "I'm right here with You." He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Aren't you glad? He said, "I'll go with you all the way unto the end." Praise God. I believe that He'll do as He said. All we got to do is what He asked. Are you ready to do that tonight? Paul was a great servant, a great workman. And, you know, there are just so many things you could say about Paul. And I've often thought this, that, you know, I wondered about Peter and about John and some of the other apostles. Why wasn't it them? Why didn't God do with them as He did with Paul? But when you look at it, God had Paul. Well, Paul talks about how that God had him separated. God had him established for work. He said, "Even in my mother's womb that he knew me. He was preparing me." Isn't that amazing to think that? Can I tell you, God's done the same thing for every one of you here. He's got a purpose for you, and He knew it before you was even born. God didn't let you get born and say, "Now what am I going to do with that one?" He didn't ever do that. He knew who could preach. He knew who could teach. He knew who could sing. He knew who could pray. He knew who could do whatever a thing that God may have for you. He knew it all. And He prepared you for that very purpose. Amen? You fulfilling that purpose tonight? Brother Ronnie, while we come tonight, get ready to sing a verse song. Maybe God's got something there for you. But aren't you glad for that change in grace of God? I mean, God changed, man, Paul's entire life. That grace came down to him, and it did something for him. You remember where we talked about the grace of God working in the life of Ruth as she came out of Moab. She followed her mother-in-law Naomi back to Bethlehem. And I guarantee you, Ruth got out there in the middle of that barley field, gathering and gleaning and doing whatever she was doing. And then all of a sudden, Boaz started being nice to her. And you know what? She sat and thought, what in the world did I ever do to deserve this? What have I done? Can I tell you, that's the same thing we think as a lost sinner. What did I do when the grace of God came? What did I do? What did Paul do? All Paul did was reject and fight and resist. And Jesus still loved him and said, I want to change your life. Amen? He's still doing the same today. Let's stand. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron? Page 65. Amen.